But before we get there, we're going to do our Sunday humor. It was about this man who came up to a Baptist preacher. And he said, "Sir, my dog just passed away, and I was wondering if you could do the funeral." And the pastor said, "I don't do dog funerals." And the man replied, "Well, that's too bad, because I was thinking about a $5,000 donation to your charity." "Well, why didn't you tell me the dog was Baptist? I'll be right over. What time?" I thought that was cute. That I'll give credit to Joel Osteen for that one. So this morning, I want to sing my song first. And the reason why I do songs is not, you know, I've told Marlene that I'm not up here to entertain. I'm up here to get a point across. And a lot of times when I've done a message and my daughter sits back there, and after I'm done, and I'll say, "Okay, what'd you think?" She goes, "Mom, you have to sing." She goes, "I love your messages, but when you sing, it gets the point across more. So sing. I've known you all, you know, for 30 years you've done nothing but sing and message, so you need to do both." So I'm doing this for my daughter too. But this is called "I Miss My Time With You." I've done this song before, but I'm going to go at it at a whole different angle than I did the last time. This series is going to be today and next Sunday for sure, possibly the Sunday after. But please listen to the words, because this is what the message is going to be about today. Just waiting in our old familiar place, an empty spot beside him where once I used to wait, to be filled with strength and wisdom for the battles of the day. I would have passed him by again, but I clearly heard him say, "I miss my time with you, all those moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy, busy trying to serve me. Oh, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true, I miss my time with you. What do I have to offer? How can I truly care? My efforts have no meaning if your presence isn't there. But Lord, if you'll supply the power, I'll take that time to pray, and I'll be there beside you, and I'll never hear you say, 'I miss my time with you, all those moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy, busy trying to serve me. Oh, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true, I miss my time with you. I miss my time with you, all those those moments together I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy, busy trying to serve me. Oh, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true, I miss my time with you. It's true. The Lord's saying, I miss my time with you. You know, that song talks about how God misses his time with you, because he desires to spend time with us. But you might be saying to yourself with that song, well, Bonnie, I do that. I want to spend time with God. But when I spend time with God, it seems like it's a one-way conversation. I'm doing all the talking, and all he's doing is listening, and I don't hear nothing from him. And that's where I'm going to go with this. You know, it's like God doesn't say much. So I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it when I take that time with him. So like I said, we are going to spend a couple of Sundays talking about how we can hear God's voice. God has a voice. It's a voice that could be a prompting. It could be a nudging, an unction. There's so many things, different ways that we can hear God's voice. But I want to ask you a question. What do God, and this, you know, it's not a joke, but what do God and cell phones have in common? Well, the thing that they both have in common is you have to be positioned correctly to hear clearly. For example, with a cell phone, if you're in Menards, that happens to me, Menards or Walmart, or in a hospital, I have found when I'm in the hospital, the only good place to be is on third floor over by the waiting room and by the surgery department. That's the best place to get any reception at the hospital, is right there. Otherwise, you have to go outside. Or in Menards, you almost have to go outside. Or Walmart, you have to go outside, because if you get too far in, you're not going to get any signal. You'll get a call that'll drop. They might say hello, and that's the last thing you hear. Or another part of having a cell phone, if you're in the wilderness, you're not going to get cell service. You're not going to receive any reception, usually. But if you're in a town, or if you're in a city, or if you're on an interstate, you're in a perfect spot to get a good signal. So that is the same that is true about God. If you want to hear God and his voice, you have to be in a position to receive. Not be it just physically or mentally, but spiritually and emotionally, we need to find ourselves a place where we feel comfortable, where we can get alone with God and know that we are going to hear from him. But then again, you've also got the father of lies, Satan. He wants to do his best to stop that flow of communication between you and God. He jams packs our day with noisy distractions that tries to tune God out. We get so focused on the here and now and the things that are coming at us from kids, grandkids, school, jobs, friends, family, you know, brothers and sisters, whatever. All these things come at us. So distractions would be, like I said, the cares of the world, our emotional stresses, exhaustion, you know, physically exhausted, mental or emotionally exhausted, grief. If we're going through a time of grief or fear or guilt or anger, financial stresses play a part. All these things can get in the way of our connection between us and God. However, some people don't feel comfortable in that quiet, solitude place. They have to have noise. My sister, love her dearly, First thing she does when she gets up in the morning, she turns that TV on. And there's times I go to visit her, and the TV's running. I go, did I catch you at a bad time? Were you watching something? She goes, no, I turn that on to get noise, to have noise in the house. She's got to have the noise. Or other people, they have to be busy all the time. They can't sit still. They've got to be going all the time. They have to. They don't like that. And I like what it says here. It says, because they don't like being alone with their own thoughts. And, you know, maybe that's justifiable in the sense that you've got a bad past in it, and those thoughts take you back to things that you don't want to think about. But then again, you know, and when you're busy like that, or if you've got something going like a radio all day or a TV all day, it helps deter you from going back to those things. Or it could be the fact that a person is afraid of the quiet and the solitude, and that stops them from focusing and having that time of fellowship with God. Or maybe you avoid that peaceful fellowship with God because you feel you're not good enough, that you're not good enough for God to spend time with you, or that God might ask you to do something that we feel is out of our league, or that maybe we're not qualified to do. Maybe we feel like, well, if I spend this time with him, he's going to ask me to do something that I just don't feel that comfortable doing. But we know that all these things that are on the negative side, these are all lies from the father of lies himself. Because why? He wants to stop us from having that communication with God. In the Old Testament, God spoke clearly and audibly to his people. In Job 40, chapter 40, verse 6, God once spoke to Job out of the whirlwind, it says. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2, Habakkuk knew the sound of God speaking to him because God spoke to him frequently. He knew God's voice, okay? And then in 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse 12, Elijah describes the sound of God speaking as a still, small voice. God speaks to us through many, many avenues, okay? First would be, and I've heard many of us say this, hey, I love going out and looking at God's creation. And I'm sure you, Mary and Lois, when you were on your trip this last week, I'm sure there were many, many times that you were looking at God's creation saying, Lord, thank you. This is absolutely beautiful. Thank you. And when you look at those beautiful things, one of my favorite places is Galena. I think it's so beautiful up this time of year. But it makes us realize the vastness of God and who he is. If you go and stand by the ocean, it makes you realize how big of a God we serve. So that is an avenue that we can use as a voice from God. When you feel like God's not big enough to handle the problem that you have, get out a picture of the ocean. Get out a picture of a mountain scene. Get out something that you're interested in, and God will show you through that picture that he's big enough to handle whatever it is that you're going through. Another avenue that God uses, of course, we all know, is his word, his special revelation, his word. Other times or other methods that God uses is books. Other books, movies, videos, sermons, conversations that we have with other people, our personal experience in our daily lives. Some people call them unctions. Some people call them promptings when they feel that God has said something to them. An unction from the Holy, an unction, a function of the unction of the Holy Spirit. Or a prompting. So God may answer your prayer in an unexpected way, and not only that, in an unexpected time and place. You know, God's not going to answer it when we think he should. God's voice can cut through all the noise. It will cut through. All you have to do is say, God, you hear the same noise that I'm hearing right now, all the commotion that's going on in my head. Clear it, Lord, so that I can spend this time with you. He'll hear that, and he'll make a way available so that you can do that. Now, I want to share, I shared this with Marlene the other day, and I go through this probably about every week. When I'm done here, I take about an hour, and I do nothing but maybe watch an hour program. It takes me off of everything else, or I might listen to some music, something like that. just to get my mind off of everything for maybe an hour or so. But then after that, about maybe 5 o'clock, I'm going, okay, Lord, what do you have for next week? What's for next week? And so this exactly what happened this last week. Come Sunday, I didn't get nothing. And then Monday, I asked the Lord again. I go, Lord, I'm waiting. And as I said it on Monday, he reminded me, or it came to my remembrance, of a devotional that I read like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I go, oh, Lord, that's, you know, I thought, oh, that's fine, but that's not enough material. That won't do it. That's only like 5 minutes worth. I'm not going to mess with that. I'm going to move on. So Tuesday, I prayed again, and that same devotional came to me. And Wednesday, I'm going, Lord, it's Wednesday, like he doesn't know it's Wednesday. And I go, Lord, I need something. And again, he brings it to me. So, and I was at work at the time. I get home, and I went right to that devotional, went right to it. Started reading it. I go, now see, Lord, there's not that much here. See, Lord, this is how I talk to Lord all the time. I mean, we're online with each other all the time, 24/7. And I'm saying, Lord, there's not that much to it. Then it was like he was saying, read it again. I read it again. And when I read it the second time, I got halfway through it, and it was like the word just bounced out at me. And it was saying to me, my people need to hear my voice. And they're not. They're not. And I started studying it, researching it, and when he showed me where to go with this, there is so much here, and he's telling me to tell you today that he is a God who speaks. He is a God who wants to communicate with us. Just like that song said today, I miss my time with you. I want to have fellowship time with you. It says here, God's voice happens most when we are waiting. And that's exactly what happened. I was waiting and praying and praying and waiting for what God wanted for today. And that's when he answers us most, is when we go to him and ask him and we wait. That's where our faith comes in. Faith is saying, okay, now I'm going to sit back. Now I've laid it at your feet. Now I've got to wait. My part is to stand in faith, waiting for you to bring it to me, what it is that you want. So that was my experience. And I had to get quiet before God. And then again, wait. The thing is, we can't try it once and say it didn't work. We can't say, I've done this, Bonnie, but it just doesn't seem to happen. Well, let me remind you of Luke, where the woman went before the judge in Luke 18. She goes before this judge who has no cares for this woman and her issues. And she keeps coming to this unjust judge saying, I would like to have justice against my adversaries. And he keeps blowing her off. But she is persistent. She is not going to give up. She keeps coming back. Now, I'm not saying God is unjust. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this, is when she went and kept going back to that unjust judge, he finally got to the point where he was up to here with this woman. And he was saying, you know what? This woman is annoying me. I'm just going to hear her out and let her have what she needs or whatever it is and get this over with. I'm tired of seeing this woman in front of me all the time. So he finally gives her what she wants. She gets justice against her adversaries. He follows through. So how much more our Heavenly Father, who wants to give us the desires of our heart, compared to the judge who didn't? How much more does the Heavenly Father want to spend that time in fellowship with you? The thing is, we have to be persistent. And we have to know that when we come before the Father, he not only hears us, he is going to answer us. But, you know, you say, well, he heard me the first time. No, chances are that's not going to happen. He might do it in a way, you know, if you're asking for finances or something, and then maybe 2 or 3 days later, somebody's going to walk up to you and say, I felt led to give you this $50. And that was exactly what you needed. 2 weeks ago, when you guys blessed me financially, I needed the exact amount to the dollar of what this ministry blessed me for pastoral month. It was to the dollar of what I needed. And I told Mary that. Because I waited on God. And that's what he's wanting us to do. But Satan will come to you and tell you, see, he didn't answer you. He's not going to answer you. He will, but it might not be in the way you expect it to be. Now, this might sound spooky to you, but I remember when I first came to the Lord, young and stupid in the Lord, I remember my husband laying next to me, and I'm laying there, and I'm going, Lord, I just want to see an angel. I just want to see an angel. I just, you know, everybody else is seeing angels, and I just want to see an angel. Now, I'm laying there, and I'm not trying to make it spooky or anything like that. I'm not trying to do that. But I set myself up because my husband's sound asleep over there, and when I turned my head, there was this black shadow up against the wall. And it startled me. It was not a peaceful thing. It startled me to the point I could not talk. I could not move my body. I could not nudge my husband to wake me up or to wake him up because I was so scared. It startled me. And I felt like somebody was literally sitting on me. And I'm even now, it makes my hands sweat. And the only thing I knew at that time was, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And I kept singing that and kept singing it, and that whatever it was on the wall faded away. So you can't go testing the waters like that. You have to get before the Lord, and you have to go with the right heart, not out of, oh, do it for me, do it for me. It's not about you. Yes, it is in a way that he wants that time with you, but we can't do it as a way of saying, oh, I saw an angel. No, it's got to be in God's timing and God's way. And he will make it possible. He will give you the desire of your heart. But he wants to know your heart's in it. Not just for show or to talk to somebody about it, but that your heart is in that relationship. Our lives can sometimes feel like constant noise, of voices from every side trying to influence the way we think and feel. And that's what happens. When all these voices come at us, all this noise comes at us, it is going to affect our thoughts. It is going to affect our feelings. It is going to affect our emotions. It's going to affect us in every which way. But the main voice that we need to be listening to is the voice of God, because we know when we hear the voice of God, we're going to see peace. We're going to have joy. We're going to find comfort. We're going to find security. We're going to find strength. Sometimes when we're seeking God and we're looking for that answer, sometimes we'll get it, and then we'll go back and go, oh, was that me or was that God? Well, the best thing to do when you're not sure is you say, Lord, I need a confirmation. Now, I know we're getting close to closing. I want to share a short story, and again, we're going to go on with this. But I remember when my husband and I were going to go to Rhema down in Oklahoma, and we were praying together, sitting in the front room on the floor, just praying, lifting our hands on our knees, saying, Lord, this is a big life changer. And we just feel led that we're supposed to go to Bible school. Four kids going to Bible school. No jobs, no house, no nothing. We just knew we had to go. So we're praying and we're praying and we're praying. And all of a sudden, the Lord just brought it out of my mouth. And he just said, I didn't bring you to Oklahoma to Princeton. I brought you from Princeton or from Peru to Oklahoma. And it was just the opposite. In other words, he was going to make a way. Well, wasn't it the next day I'm saying to myself, George, maybe that wasn't God. Maybe that was just me. Maybe that was just me. And the first thing George said to me is, let's put it before the Lord. If this is God, we ask for a confirmation. Do you know within a week or 2 weeks, I had people calling me from Oklahoma saying, hey, we heard you guys were interested in going to Oklahoma. We have a home out in the country that we will let you rent for $50 a month, a house sit it for us, because we're thinking about whether we're going to put it up for sale or not. Would you like to live in it while you're going to school? $50 a month? That one doesn't take much thought. And then, okay, so he's taking care of the residents. Now we're thinking, okay, what are we going to do about school or about jobs? And the thing about it was, is my husband was a teacher. But this particular year that we wanted to go, they were taking his job and cutting it in half because the position that he had was cut because of salary. So he could not continue taking that job. So we knew that too was maybe God shutting a door and opening up another door. So when we called down there about the house, they said, hey, we just got wind that the school systems are looking for a custodian. And it's afternoons. You guys will be going to school during the day, so your husband could work as a custodian in the afternoons. And they also need daycare teachers in the afternoons as well. And they're just down the road from where you're going to be living. I mean, you talk about, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. That's the way God gives us confirmations. And in closing, I just want to say this. It's the nature of God to speak. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants you to hear him all the time. How do I know that? In Romans 8:16, God has promised to lead his children by the Holy Spirit, enabling them to know his voice. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. We have a spirit ourselves, each one of us. And Jesus, when he left, he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to live and dwell within you. So the Holy Spirit communes and relates to our spirit. That unction and that prompting that you get is from your spirit, but the Spirit's getting that information from the Holy Spirit. So you can't go wrong. Amen? So next week, we're going to continue talking about this message, and we're going to talk about how to get quiet enough before God so that we can hear his voice. And the thing is, when I read the word, I just don't read verse after verse after verse. That's not how I do it. I'll read two or three verses, and then I got to dig in and go, like, for example, Luke 18. I want to know why that woman kept going persistently, and why did Jesus use that as a parable to teach the disciples? I want to know that. That's the way I study. God knows that's the way I learn his word. Every one of us are going to do it differently. So therefore, every one of us is going to do it differently when we go to fellowship with God. We all do it differently. None of us do it the same. He made us different for that reason, so that we wouldn't get bored with each other, and he wouldn't get bored with us, and we wouldn't get bored with him. He knows the way we need to fellowship. So I hope you got something from this. I hope you're looking forward to next week's message. And if you'll stand, we're going to go ahead and close with the last hymn.